Welcome to That's Showbiz, Baby. I'm Geordie Lucas, founder and editor of It's All Her and an actress in a previous life.
And I'm Alexandria Fennell, former producer of some of Australia's most iconic TV shows.
From reality TV to soaps and everything in between, join us as we take a hilarious and unfiltered look at the scandals, absurdities and unforgettable moments from behind the scenes of Australian TV.
Because when it comes to the world of television, truth is often stranger than fiction.
It ain't always pretty and it ain't always fair, but
that's showbiz, baby!
Welcome back to That's Showbiz, Baby. What an amazing first week we had.
It was wild. Thank you so much to everybody who's been so encouraging. It really gives us that dopamine hit.
That we both so desperately crave.
The validation I desire. I thrive in a praise-rich environment. Yeah. So keep it coming.
Oh, yeah. And if you haven't listened to the first, how many episodes did we release last week? We went hard.
Of just pumping.
We covered a lot. Yeah. So go back and listen. And obviously if you've got questions, keep them coming in. Keep the reviews coming in because it helps us reach new audiences, which we love.
We love that.
When you and I were first sort of coming up with this idea and we were brainstorming what we were going to talk about, I went home and I Googled you because I wanted to look up your CV, your credentials, if you will.
Yeah.
And two things came up when I Googled Alexandria Fennell. One was your Christ-like behaviour, smuggling wine into a concert.
In a loaf of bread. It went viral.
You went viral. We need to talk about that one day, what it's like to truly go viral.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's an experience. 5.4
million views on TikTok.
That is wild.
It was popping off, but yeah, wow. We're not here to talk about that. I've really flogged that like a dead horse. It was my life highlight.
I do want to put a pin in that for another episode though. Let's chat about that another time.
Yeah.
But the second thing that comes up is your text messages to Lisa Wilkinson in federal court documents.
That's showbiz, baby. I do it all.
So let's give the listeners a little bit more context with that one. Obviously, huge news this week. The Bruce Lerman defamation trial has come to a conclusion and we can all now call him a rapist, which is really fun.
Rapist
and a loser, I think the Herald Sun cover was. I just love this for us that we can call him what he is.
Is that what it means? Now we can just openly call him a rapist.
We certainly can.
It still feels wrong.
I know.
It feels wrong to me.
But what a time to be alive.
It's like the fall of him is like what a cartoon villain getting there at the end of the show, the hero's winning and the cartoon villain being like, no, and melting, falling off a cliff.
It's just joyous.
Yeah.
I love it. So you were working on the project when Lisa was working on this story.
Yeah.
And I thought today we could talk about that a little bit.
I'm nodding profusely for those who are just listening. we can talk about it.
Well, I mean, because the judge found that what she put together was the truth.
I just want to say obviously.
Yeah.
But obviously, but yeah, I'm glad that it's been proven yet again that it is the truth.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what actually goes into putting a story like that together.
Yeah.
Because clearly the big threat is a defamation lawsuit.
Yeah.
How much work, how much time and fact-checking goes into putting a story like that together?
I can only talk about it from my perspective and sort of what I saw. My role was I oversaw all of the digital social media content and that team. And so I would come on to stories quite late in the piece. It's not like I was in the early pitching elements. And with those big stories like that, it's quite secretive, obviously. And so what would have happened, I'd envision, was Lisa and her team would have been working on that quite privately. Mm-hmm. And by the time I heard about this story, it would have just been the day before. I would have been told, we are putting out a very large story. It's very sensitive. We need to be careful around this, but it's huge.
Do you remember that conversation?
Yes. And I didn't know what the story was even about until a few hours before it would go to air. However, because they can't risk having anything leak. And so the whole building doesn't always know every story that's going to be on there, just because you can't trust anyone in life. In media, sorry. Not life.
In media. That's showbiz, baby.
Yeah. That's a different podcast. I have trust issues. No. So I didn't know much about the process until it was going to air. But I know about the process in general, in terms of fact checking. There's a lot of fact checking that goes on. There's a lot of lawyers that check everything. There's an actual team called fact checkers, and their job is to fact check everything that goes out.
Yeah, right.
And they're just really smart people who Google every line. I guess they would Google. I don't know how the fact checkers do their job. I've never asked them, but I know that they're on it. Nothing gets past them, rarely.
So they would have been fairly 100% certain that.
Yeah, of course.
He'd done it.
Yeah, of course. I don't think the project is in the business of airing things that they think aren't the truth. I know they're not. Can't speak for all news stations and all channels, but I know for a fact that the project has a lot of integrity.
It feels like they do, and it feels like they wouldn't give airtime to someone that they thought was
crazy.
Yeah.
No.
Which is how the media portrayed Britney. And it very much was the trial of Britney Higgins.
It was. Yeah, it was. It didn't go the way I envisioned. I didn't think that there'd be so much doubt. And I wonder if they thought that it would be as big and dramatic and stressful as it was. To me, maybe I'm a little bit more simple. I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like something that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not that outlandish that a guy would drink too much and sexually assault a girl.
Yeah.
That is just so standard, isn't it?
Australia. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that is kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was so contentious is interesting to me.
So what was the sense after the story aired? What was the feeling at the Como?
That's right. The lawyers were really nervous. I know that. The lawyers were really strict about everything that was being posted, and I think so. Part of my job was feeding copy and content to the hosts if they were going to post it on their personal channels, which was always a little bit of a precarious thing as well, because we had a team of moderators 24/7 on the project. And so if anything kicked off, we could shut it down, but we didn't have control over the host's social content. And so we couldn't moderate it. So it was always a little bit precarious of whether the executive producers would allow the host to put the content on their pages. It was always that balance of, well, we want their audience to see it. We want as many eyeballs on this, but also we don't want the risk of us not being able to moderate their content and their comments, because you are also liable for comments that are on. That's essentially the project broadcasting it.
Yeah.
If it's a comment on one of their pieces. So.
And I imagine Lisa would have been pretty chuffed with herself breaking this story and
she was
exposing this dirtbag.
Lisa would have been really proud, and also she should be proud.
Yeah.
It was a really important story, and she really worked really hard and I think handled it beautifully. Probably some questionable, she was put through the ringer a lot, and there were some mistakes along the way. And, you know, that has its own implications, and I'm sure she has also weighed that up and reflected on it. But sometimes I think your greatest achievements are also at the greatest personal cost.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a difference in the world by playing it safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes a good journalist.
Mm.
And I think Lisa would have known that and still knows that. And I think she'll sit down now and think, well, I don't regret doing it, even though it came at an immense cost for her personally as well, because her reputation has been on the line for years now. And, you know, she's been dragged over the coals. But I also don't think that I haven't spoken to Lisa about it, but I don't think she'll look back and regret it.
Yeah.
Maybe some elements, but that's showbiz, baby.
Yeah.
She's a journalist. That's her job.
Yeah.
She did her job. She did it well, I think. And
she told the truth.
She told the truth. Yeah. And the truth hurts.
Yeah.
Sometimes. The truth is ugly.
Yeah.
Often. But it's the truth and it's important.
Yeah.
So I respect Lisa a lot.
I did ask you if you thought you could call Lisa and if she would give us the scoop of what she's going to do next, because I am really fascinated.
Lisa doesn't give a shit about me. She wouldn't even answer my call.
But I'm sure a lot of people are really fascinated as to what her next move is, career-wise, work-wise. You know, I doubt she's going to be back on the project desk anytime soon.
I feel like she's had a long, illustrious career in television. She was, you know, the host of Today Show, which was huge and controversial as well. And she's copped so much shit. And then she moved to the project. She's copped so much shit but done so well. She's also in her 60s. She's coming to retirement age.
Yeah.
She's probably not that desperate to go out and get another gig. She might be tired.
Yeah.
That being said, she will probably never stop working in some capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's just the way she's wired. But, yeah, I don't envision her trying to get one of those primetime TV hosting gigs anytime soon. But you never know.
No.
You never know. She still looks great.
Oh,
she's so beautiful.
She is just a vision.
She's so beautiful. And I believe that people who have that sort of perpetual out exterior beauty, I think it's a reflection of their interior beauty.
Yeah.
And Lisa is a really beautiful person. So when I broke my arm, it was a few years ago, the project, it was around Logie's time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big time on social media for the project. Obviously we're doing Logie's campaigns and whatever. I broke my arm at F45 doing box jumps. Another story for another time. And couldn't take any time off work. And so the day after I broke my arm, I was back at work, high on endone, just really frazzled, and my arm was killing me and I could only type one-handed and whatever. And hardly anybody asked me, oh, hey, Alex, like, what's wrong? Everyone's just so busy and it just wasn't a big thing. But Lisa saw me from across the room and came running over to me. She was like, what happened? What happened?
Aww.
And I just burst out crying because she was the first person who'd actually asked me why. Oh, well, I'm sure my boss and colleagues had, but she actually made a really, she was like, oh, you shouldn't be here.
It's always that thing, isn't it? Like when someone's too nice to you, that's when the waterworks come on.
Yeah. And she was like, you shouldn't be here. I was like, I've got to do the Logies.
Waleed has to win the gold.
Waleed has to win the gold. I think we did end up winning a Logie. I can't remember which one, but yeah. And then every time she saw me, because she herself had broken her arm, I think the year before or something, and hers was quite bad.
Yeah.
And so we really bonded over that. And every time she saw me with the camera, the 5D, I'd like hold it on my arm and be like, hey, can I just get a desk photo? Like, no one would mention police. Be like, how is your arm, Alex? I'd be like, good.
Bless
but
her.
That's kind of her vibe.
Yeah.
And so I won't hear anyone say a bad word about her. She does love the clicks, though. Not gonna lie. But don't we all?
Oh, we do.
And she knows how to play it. She knows that the clicks are important. And so.
But it feels like she's also really, well, clearly she's invested in justice and truth telling.
She is.
And that is a, you know, an art form, and she should be respected for that.
Yes, yes.
There's so many just trash journos out there who don't care less about the truth.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and she's one of the originals who actually still has pull and integrity, I think.
Yeah.
And the court would agree.
Justice Michael Lee agrees.
He agrees.
Well, prior to to Justice Lee's ruling, some allegations surfaced from an ex-Channel 7 employee regarding the spotlight interview that Bruce Lerman gave Channel 7. And I'm going to read this to you. So he wasn't paid for the interview, as you said. It's a thing called
checkbook journalism. Checkbook
journalism.
It ain't, it's not good.
However, they did cover his rent in a pretty swanky Sydney apartment. And allegedly, I'm going to say again, allegedly, they paid for illegal drugs and prostitutes for Lerman. And allegedly, the producer of Spotlight, they had some ladies come to their hotel room and give them some massages. After working in showbiz for many, many years, these sorts of allegations don't necessarily surprise you and I.
No.
Because bad behaviour is compensated for if
normalised.
They know that it's going to bring in ratings. If someone is powerful enough, popular enough, or is interesting enough to the public, mm-hmm. they can pretty much get away with whatever.
Yes.
In the acting world, we have actor friends and actor stories. And
Margot Robbie.
You know, we all attend the Logies once a year, and I actually wasn't at this particular Logie Awards, but I heard a story which was quite interesting, that there was a male actor who was quite popular on a television show, and he had done the red carpet at Crown for the Logies, and he was standing there getting his photo taken in the foyer, as we do. And unfortunately, as he was sort of standing there, a bag of...
You can say it.
A bag of
drugs?
Can I say it?
Cocaine, yeah.
A bag of white powder fell out of his jacket and onto the floor, and clearly everyone taking photos of him, just the cameras just went down.
Oh, no.
Which you can only imagine what was going through the actor's head.
Did
what
he
was
notice
going through
it?
Their head. Yeah.
So everyone's just be like, oh.
Yeah. And because he was popular enough, good looking enough, you know, he was an asset to the network, they paid for everyone to delete the photos.
It was just sherbet. He loves whiz fizz.
And he's gone on to have a very successful career.
Really?
And has been...
How much do you think they would have paid?
I don't even want to imagine. And it would have been a lot.
And do you think they would have actually deleted? No way would they have actually deleted
those photos. I think they were made to sign.
And
Yeah. So, right. I mean, even if the photos still exist, they would get in serious trouble if they were to ever surface.
Wow.
But that is just one example of bad behaviour being covered up.
What would be the logistics of that from a logistical perspective? You know, the Logies are usually on a Sunday, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Monday morning, the publicists are made aware of this boo-boo. How do
I think it would have been
there and then.
Then and there.
Right.
Yeah. I think because they're pretty onto those things, and the red carpet at the Logies is full of publicists.
Yes,
like
of course.
It's
buzzing with publicists. Yeah. It's their time to shine.
Yeah. They would have been onto it pretty quickly.
And then they just call everybody or they tell them straight away.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And, he has, you know, no one is.
No Nadia Bartel.
No.
No Kmart plate.
Nope.
No.
Nope. But I guess that's another side of the media that I just really dislike and makes me feel really uncomfortable is the fact that these things are published with no sense of guilt or remorse from media outlets, and it's a momentary rise in clicks and engagement for them, but it's the rest of these people's
lives.
To publish
we're talking now about that situation with the maths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the actor was kind of protected.
Yes.
But it wasn't because the network cared about his livelihood. It was because they cared about their brand.
Yeah.
That's showbiz, baby.
Totally.
But there are instances. Recently you were telling me and you were so outraged about this a couple of weeks ago.
I was really outraged about it and I'm glad that you pulled me in and told me not to post about it. I'm really glad that we
I was like, okay, I feel like we're a little heightened.
Activated was the word you used.
Oh yeah, I said, I think you're a little activated. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call him out.
Yeah. I mean, hence why I just went on my tangent and you were like, hold on, let's just talk about – you were like, okay, so now we're talking about maths.
Now we're talking about that I call them characters. I shouldn't call them humans.
They're humans. That,
can you remind us what?
So, I mean, I don't even know if I want to name who it was because I don't even want to like bring more attention back to it. But there was a cast member from MAFS. He was snorting a white substance and there was also like bags of pills and things like that. And there was a certain outlet that leaked the footage.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about this in the very first episode that there, you know, these clicks are so important, but there has to be some moral compass and level of integrity. And I just don't know how you could publish that knowing that it is potentially going to destroy someone's
career and job. Yep.
Just for that momentary increase in traffic. And you know, maybe that's going to hold me back in my career, but I just could never do that. It will. It certainly will.
It will. Well, that's what I said in the first ep. Showbiz really is great for journalism is really great for people who don't have moral compasses or empathy or guilt. It really helps if you're a narcissist or a sociopath because you can rise to the top very easily. And so I would wonder and question where the line is. We all have those lines, and then in the moment your morals can get a little bit skew if sometimes I think can get caught up in the adrenaline of needing to post things and that competition, that competitive edge. But the people who push it to the extent that there is it is going to have serious consequences on somebody's actual livelihood, I think they just don't care. And if you don't care, then doesn't that mean perhaps you have questionable levels of empathy?
Yeah.
I couldn't ruin someone's life.
No.
Like that.
There's just no way I could live with myself.
No. I also don't want to ruin someone's life.
If that's what it takes for me to be successful, I don't.
Mm. Especially when the person didn't do anything that was that bad. It's one thing to hold them accountable for really bad predatory behavior.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let's go after the pedos and rapists. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
But some recreational.
And this is the thing as well is journalism 101 when you're taught about what makes a story and, you know, it's public interest and, you know, we talk about morals as a journalist.
Yes.
Is it really in the public interest that we know that someone's
engaging
in recreational drug use on the weekend? No, but it's also an extreme invasion of privacy.
Yes. However, they could argue it's illegal. And if you're doing something illegal, then perhaps it is in the public interest. I don't know. I just think it's quite hypocritical because the majority of people who are in the media themselves, not me personally, I do not engage in drugs.
No, neither
I don't
do
need
I.
them.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in senior positions do. And so if they're going to then post and shame somebody else for doing it, it's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
And I would question why you would do that. Speaking of drugs, I do have a funny story about this. I was once at a rap party of a show and I was a bit younger and I didn't know much about drugs at this point. And I was in a bathroom and I saw a senior man and this random woman, she wasn't a random woman, but it was an odd mix, go into a cubicle. And my first thought, and so I looked under the cubicle and I saw her sort of on her knees and him standing. And I went out, I was like, it was like a real odd coupling, right? And I was like, oh my God, I just saw X and Y in the toilets. And I started spreading that they were hooking up. like, she was giving him a gobby cluck cluck. Telling everybody. And then it came back to me. They were just doing coke.
Oh, my God.
Alex, you loser. They were just doing cocaine.
You idiot.
You idiot. And I was like, oh, oh. And I was like, well, that's worse.
They're really naughty.
They're so naughty. And so that was when I realized that clicked in my head. Oh, yeah, this is a thing. Yeah. That's showbiz, baby.
That is showbiz, baby.
No one's ever offered me any, though. In my entire career, isn't that funny?
You like, probably think you're already on it, babe, to be fair.
It's funny you say that because people have said to me so many times, Funnel's a cokehead. Yeah. I haven't even had a drink. I'm just excitable. But, yeah, so that's funny.
I mean, it's probably, you know, notorious in all industries where people think they're a bit spesh, but a lot of people think they're very spesh in showbiz. So it's
I sometimes feel like I walk into a room and I'm like, I am amazing. Bow down to me. It's just undiagnosed ADHD.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have time for today.
Just cut me off. Can we turn this off, please?
We would love it if you can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram. Send us a DM if you've got a juicy... Oh,
sorry to interrupt, but people have been messaging me things. Oh. What are we doing with this information?
We're going
to
do a Q&A, I think.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. So keep messaging us. Yeah. Keep messaging us, giving me your juicy goss, because I've been getting some juicy goss and lots of questions as well.
Yeah, I've got some juicy goss and questions. We'll be back in your ears soon.
Bye. Bye.